This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. On June 30th, Dr. Michael Adams will retire after 16 years as president of the University of Georgia. During his term, Adams often sparked controversy with some of his decisions in both academics and athletics. In part two of a conversation in his Athens office, I asked him about what was likely his most famous battle. Certainly one of the most publicized events of your time was back in 2003 when you did not extend Vince Dooley's contract as athletic director. Number one, any regrets either about the action itself or the way it played out, either at your end or his?
Well, you know, that was over a decade ago, and I've pretty well quit talking about it. I would simply say that Coach Dooley made a lot of positive contributions here as a coach and an athletic director, and those were personnel issues, and I generally don't talk about personnel issues. And that's pretty well what I've said for 10 years, and it's what I'll continue to say.
Have you and he restored your relationship?
Oh, we have a cordial relationship. We had a cordial relationship before then. I have a lot of respect for what he's done. I think there's peace in the Bulldog Kingdom today.
But one of the things that happened as a result of that was fundraising for the university versus how funds are raised for athletics. There were foundation changes, a whole series of things that happened because of that. What has the university learned from the controversy and the resulting questions about, okay, who raises the funds and how much say do they have over decisions?
Yeah. Well, in many ways, universities go through old school, new school divisions at certain points. I've always said we're a big tent. Interestingly enough, I mean, the last 8 years, 10 years since all of that happened, we've had the best fundraising years in the university's history. In fact, we've raised more money in my time here than we had in all the years previous. So if it hurt us, it didn't hurt us too much. We want everybody to be happy and under the tent and moving forward. And I think today, although we had some tough moments, we just plowed ahead, worked hard, reached out to all kinds of people, and the university is better because of it. There may be some people that we've not been as effective with that the next administration will be more effective with, and that's going to be true in certain circumstances. But we had to get more aggressive in a whole range of areas, including fundraising, and I think the record there speaks for itself.
There were people at the time who tried to get you fired, and they had some folks in powerful positions in the legislature and elsewhere. Were we at a point, or are we at a point, whether it's here or elsewhere, where athletics, and you're, as you mentioned, a big supporter of athletics, but are athletics the tail that wags, so to speak, the dog?
Well, I don't think anybody thinks that part of the hind end of a dog controls this place. And frankly, that was one of the messages that was positive that came out of all that, though that was not my intention. It certainly was not my goal. I have said on other occasions that I think the balancing act between the academic side of the house and the athletic side of the house is more difficult now than it was 16 years ago, not to mention 20 or 25 years ago. Whether or not it's going to get harder remains to be seen. It's pretty hard to explain to a $100,000 physics professor why you have to pay a football coach $3+ million. And I'm often the person that has to render that explanation. I don't think we can put the genie back in the bottle, but I think that's one of the areas where we cannot sustain the trend line of the last 10 years. And we're holding the line, if you notice. We're in the middle of the pack on ticket prices in the SEC. We don't lead the league in salaries in every regard. We want to be market sensitive and competitive, and we've been able to attract good people, including a new first-rate baseball coach just last week. So going forward, we may in athletics have frankly had too much money in the system. And I think going forward, athletic departments are going to have to share some of that largesse with academics as well. And that's happening here now at a level that it has never happened at before. And we have an AD in Greg McGarrity who understands the relationship between athletics and academics. So it's a daily issue.
How is that happening? How is the money being shared?
Well, we get over $4 million a year now from athletics. Most of the money goes into either student support or faculty support. Endowed professorships, scholarships of all types. And I frankly think that needs to grow as we go forward. There's no simple solution to meeting the needs of the kind of young people that we were talking about earlier. And I think the people who frankly support us athletically through the Hartman Fund and other areas, they have a responsibility to give similarly or in increased numbers to the academic pursuits of the university as well.
And you expect that will continue?
It's been a growth line and a trend line for many years now, and I've been advised that we're likely to have our best annual fund this year in the history of the university.
As if other SEC schools don't do the same thing, then there will obviously be the competitive pressure to keep the money in athletics.
That's true. I can't speak for those schools, but we're going to work very hard to have a balance here, and I think the administration that comes after me will do the same thing.
You advocated a playoff system in football going back, I think, to 2008, maybe even farther than that. Mm-hmm. Are you satisfied with the new system, and how much of a role do you think you had in it, whatever the success you want to call the successor to the BCS?
Well, it probably depends on who you ask. I would say for the record, I think for the third time, I did that with the full knowledge of Miles Brand, who was then chair of the NCAA. I felt like then it was the right thing to do. I feel pretty good about where we've ended up. We may have been a little ahead of that band, frankly. I would have preferred an 8-team deal instead of a 4-team deal, but you never get all of what you want in a discussion. I certainly think we moved the discussion forward. Now, I don't want to take sole credit for that, but I was pushing that at a time that a lot of people in the SEC thought I was a pariah for so doing. And the thing that was left out of the equation, Dennis, prior to this, were the kids and the fans. I mean, I worked those locker rooms. I know this fan base who pays the bills. And I didn't think we could or should ignore them ad nauseum. Now, that doesn't mean that conventional wisdom is always right, but we have a fairly convoluted bowl system. And how it's going to play out long term yet remains to be seen. But I think as people got together and put this plan in place, we're certainly much better off than we have been. But I think there will still be pressures down the road to enlarge that group that goes into the pool to probably 8 teams.
If that happens, though, are you concerned, both as somebody who dealt with this question during your administration and for the future, that we'll have an endless playoff system with bowls feeding into it that stretch well beyond in time the early January limits that we have now, and that would certainly affect academics?
Well, if it did, I would vote against it. And in the plan that I presented, I used the 4 most prominent bowls. After that week, you cut to 4, and there only ended up being 2 teams in the country that played in the second week of January. So I think it was sensible. If it had gone beyond that, I wouldn't, frankly, have supported. Football needs to basically be a one-semester course, and I think that's as it should be.
That doesn't count spring workouts, does it?
Well, you know, we're football crazy in this state. Interestingly enough, many football players do as well in the fall when they have that level of time constraint and discipline as they do other times, like during spring training or non-spring training time seems to be when a few of them are prone to get in trouble. So there may be some analysis yet needed there.
You've defended the sort of strict drug suspension policy that UGA has. The SEC administrations got together, tried to come up with a unified plan, and failed. Do you expect your successor to adhere to the strict policy that you had during your time?
You'll have to ask him, but I would be surprised if he didn't. I know how the AD feels about that, and we've sort of embedded that into the UGA system. I said in the newspapers recently, I took an oath to support the laws of the state of Georgia. I've tried to do that. We're not in Oregon or Colorado or California. So I think we have to be cognizant of that. I've never been for taking out and, you know, drawing and quartering a kid who smoked a joint. But I do think we need to have self-discipline to the point that, you know, if you engage in that kind of conduct, you're not likely just hurting yourself, you're hurting your team. And that's something that ought to have a higher value than it seems to a few.
There is now a well-quoted saying from Steve Spurrier across the line that he always likes to play Georgia early in the year because Georgia will always have one or two folks, key folks on the squad, suspended. That makes it easier for South Carolina. How do you respond to people who look at that, especially coming from Spurrier, and say, hey, you know, what can we do here?
Nobody does a better job of needling the Georgia constituency than Coach Spurrier. I know him well. I think he's a great coach. I think he's a head case working on other head cases at times. And
the other head cases being media people, fans, well, administrators. Who are the other head cases?
I'm not going there, but I will say I like Steve a lot. I have great respect for Coach Spurrier, and they can do at South Carolina what they want to do. But we're going to, I suspect, maintain the attitude we have at UGA.
Michael Adams is retiring as president of the University of Georgia. Dr. Adams, thank you so much for giving us this much time. We really appreciate it, and good luck.
Thanks, Dennis. Thanks to you, and thanks to the public broadcasting system for being such a good friend to us.